friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 9th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's beauty. I wish you God's life as we continue through this Easter season of resurrected life. And again, we are about halfway through this season of Easter, which is amazing that we're already moving there. We are going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend, which is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And as always, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first reading and the gospel. I know we didn't do that last week. That was a weird kind of special occasion. But first reading is coming out of Acts, as it frequently does during the season of Easter. Acts chapter 13, verses 14, and then 43 to 52. So kind of jumps around a little bit there, but then a lengthy one, and you'll see where that's going. And then we're going to read a gospel reading out of John. Again, not atypical during this season of Easter, especially during this year C that we're in. And so John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. So again, if you are somebody who likes to look at the readings, either ahead of time or as we're reading, feel free to do that. Whatever it is and however it is you like to receive the Word of God, invite you at this time to open yourself, however that is you do that, to prepare yourself that this Word may find a home within you well upon this hearing and upon this reading this week. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshippers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshippers, and the leading men of the city stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, my friends, as always, if there was an image, an idea that came to you, a thought, a sentence that stuck out, a word, a phrasing, if somehow something spoke to you during this hearing, allow that to continue to speak. Sit with it. Just let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God needs to do in that word, in that image, in that phrase, in that idea, in that thought, okay? Because God will do, the Spirit will do what the Spirit needs to do. Just sit with it for the rest of this day, for this coming week, in preparation to hear it this weekend, okay? Let's move on to the gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. My friends, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So this is John chapter 10, of course, and that is the Good Shepherd imagery that we often hear during the Easter season. In fact, this might even be, and I didn't check beforehand, but this might be Good Shepherd Sunday, as I think it generally is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which makes sense then. We're talking about Jesus and that image of shepherd. So a couple of things I want to say about the gospel, and I'm really going to focus on the gospel because, yeah, I know it's only four verses, but it's rich, right? There's so much there. Two things that I want to focus on quickly and then move to the main focus. And the first thing is this, that last line, the Father and I are one, is so powerful, brothers and sisters. Again, we are a Trinitarian people. We believe that God consists, and I use the phrasing, in three persons. That's just so awful. You know, we have experienced, we as humanity, creation, have experienced God in these three ways. God as creator, the one who created all. God as savior, the one who came and walked among us as incarnate. God who continues to be with us even today in the midst of our life and in the midst of our whatever is going on within us. And that is the one we call the Spirit. And if we're, again, we are Trinitarian, that they are one, that if we have seen one, we have seen all, that whole idea, that image, then really when we hear these gospels and we see Jesus reaching out to the sinners and loving them, reaching out to those on the peripheries and loving them, bringing people in, wanting to sustain the word of God, saying that I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, but reshaping it for us in ways that make it new. Brothers and sisters, this is all. If this is what God looks like, this is good news, because Jesus and the Father are one, that when we see who Jesus is and how Jesus is and how he loved and how he interacted and how he reached out and what was important to him, then we know that that is how God sees the world and sees us, and we know what is important, that we can, in a sense, breathe easier because Jesus, in putting a face on God, as Paul says, the image of the invisible God, can make us just relax and breathe easier and realize God is truly for us, God with us, God is on our side. That's the first thing. The other thing I want to say is I love this image where Jesus says, listen, God has given all these sheep to me, and no one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. And I, again, love this image, because brothers and sisters, there are things that attempt to take us out of God's hand every day. And make no mistake about it, by the way, you and I are sheep, right? We are the ones whom Jesus is talking about here, that we are the followers, we are the beloved ones, and that God says, you are mine, right? You are mine. I know your name. I know your voice. I know your life. I created you. You are mine. And I will not let you out of my hand. And that anxiety you feel today about whatever is coming up or whatever is going on in your life, I am greater than that. and that addiction that you are a part of today, and that feels like it has a grasp on you, I am greater than that. And that darkness that you feel around you today, I am greater than that. Or you plug in whatever else it is that is going on, this dysfunction that I am a part of today. I am God. I am greater than that. Brothers and sisters, there are things that will attempt to snatch us out of the hand of God several times today. Our God is greater. Now, what we need to do in feeling that anxiety, in walking through that dysfunction, in being trapped in that darkness or addiction or fear or whatever situation in which we find ourselves, we need to continually give that to God and say, God, this feels bigger than me. And the truth is, it may be bigger than me, but it's not bigger than God. And the God is right there with us in the midst of that, in the midst of that place, in the midst of that moment, and nothing can snatch us, right? Isn't that what Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor future things, nor present things, all these things, nothing can take us away from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Neither nakedness or peril or the sword. All these things. Christ Jesus is more than conqueror. This is good news, brothers and sisters. This is good news. Okay, so now let's make a pivot to... those were just the tangents. Let's make a pivot to where I'd invite us to focus today. And that's on the first line, where Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Last week, brothers and sisters, I entitled the podcast, We Need to See Differently. It was that wonderful gospel, John chapter 21, where Peter and the sons of Zebedee and Thomas, they're all out fishing, and Jesus comes on the seashore. They think it's Jesus, but they're not sure. It's that whole line that says, and none of them asked who you are because they knew it was the Lord. And it's just that weird, like, we think it's the Lord, but we're not sure. And that whole idea that I talked about, how Mary thought he was the gardener on that Easter Sunday morning, or the disciples walking to Emmaus didn't really know who this person walking with them was, but they saw them differently in the breaking of the bread, or they saw them differently in calling them to forgiveness on the beach, right, with the charcoal fire, and saw them differently with peace given on the night after they had denied Jesus and run away. And they saw him differently in how he treated them with dignity and called them by name, right? All those different ways, or were not our hearts burning within us. They saw him through those signs and actions. What I would argue today, brothers and sisters, is we need to hear differently as well. We need to hear differently. So what am I talking about? Again, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. How, brothers and sisters, do you hear the voice of God? If we are to take this line as true, and I believe it is, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Not just the sheep back then when he was talking. 2,000 years ago, the people around him, okay, you in this crowd of 5,000, you who are my sheep, you know my voice, you hear it, and you follow me. Or you 12 who followed me, you know, who I called and said yes. You're my sheep, and you hear my voice, and you follow me. He's talking to us today, which presumes two things. One, that God continues to talk. God continues to speak. And two, that somehow his voice is still to be discerned, and that we, the sheep, are the ones who hear today. Do we believe that, brothers and sisters, that God continues to talk? And if that is true, how do you hear his voice? Where do you hear his voice? I was out for a run yesterday, and I throw on some different music, and I was listening to U2's latest album. And early on in the run, there was this line where it says, your voice is a whisper in the midst of a hurricane. Your voice is a whisper in the midst of a hurricane. Well, how? And that image seems apt to me, which I really grasped onto. If that is true, and I think it is, because we live in the midst of a hurricane, our lives are busy. Whatever it is that we've got going on, we've got 1,000 things that are beckoning to break through to us, whether it's on, in the car as we're driving to work, whether it's all the duties that we have at our job, or the people that are speaking to us, or obligations that we've said yes to, or a to-do list at home, or whatever it is going on. We've got 1,000 voices trying to break through. Even in our own head, those ones that judge us, that God can't snatch us away. All these things are trying to break through. It's a hurricane. How on earth are we to hear a whisper? But brothers and sisters, here's what I would argue. God made you. God made me to hear God's voice. So how do we do it? How do you, not me, not the person next to you, how and where do you hear God's voice best? Because, brothers and sisters, if God is still speaking, and if we are to follow, we need to make sure we are hearing, to make sure we are following where that voice goes. Now, again, I won't tell you how God is speaking to you, because I don't know how God is speaking to you, but I know God is. I mean, it's that whole idea, and I've used this image before, that there are radio waves around us all over right now, but we don't hear them unless we have a receiver and we tune in to that FM or AM dial on a specific frequency, and then we can hear what those radio waves are saying all around us. But we have to have the receiver, and we have to tune in. God's voice is all around us. What is the way that you receive? What is the place? What is the time of day? Those are the things that we have to answer for ourselves. And that is unique for you, just as it is unique for me. Do you have a quiet time? And I would urge us, brothers and sisters, if you don't, make one. Because in the midst of a hurricane, we need a quiet space, we need a quiet place, we need a quiet moment in order to hear. Now, that's not the only place God talks, but I love that image. You know, your voice is a whisper in the midst of a hurricane. And listen, Bono gets that straight from the Hebrew scriptures, right? When Elijah's in the cave and God's voice is not in the windstorm, and God's voice is not in the rainstorm, and God's voice is not in the fire. But it is that soft voice that comes after. And then he hid his face because he knew God was present. How does God speak to you? Does God speak to you through your spouse? Well, then listen. Does God speak to you through the music you hear? Listen. I mean, really listen. Does God speak to you through the laughter of your children or the joy? Listen. Does God speak to you through Scripture? Listen. spend time with it, with all these things? Does God speak to you through nature? Does God speak to you in the midst of your heart? Does God speak to you in the morning when you are not yet out of bed, but before your day gets moving, but yet you're not asleep? Where does God speak? And then, let's presume, one, God is speaking. Two, you can hear. What is God inviting you to do? Because my sheep not only hear my voice, they follow me. Because God's voice and moments may simply remind us that you and I are the beloved ones of God. That's good, good news. Because in the midst of everything we got going on, we can forget that. Because we have a whole lot of voices perhaps in our lives reminding us we're not so beloved or we're not doing things well. But our God will remind us we are beloved. But there are other times that voice will say, I need you to move forward and do this. And then you and I have a decision. Do I trust myself that the voice I heard, wherever it was and wherever it come from, and by the way, God can and will use anything to speak to us. God can and will use any circumstance because there is nothing, nothing that God cannot use. But when we hear, what do we do with it? So here's what I would urge us to do if we are struggling. So I go back to the first reading here, and I think of Paul and Barnabas going into, you know, Antioch in Pisidia, and they're sitting there and they're preaching in the temple. And all these people are coming, and amazingly enough, the Jews are jealous of them, that, you know, the word of God is being spread, but it's not the leaders of the Jewish people that are doing it. It's these two upstarts, Paul and Barnabas. And they're speaking to the Gentiles about how the Gentiles are co-heirs in salvation. This is unheard of. And they kick them out. And I think if we were back then and hearing from Paul and Barnabas, And we would say to them, were you certain of what God was telling you? I suspect at some level they were like, we were pretty sure, but we weren't fully sure. Because it's not like God came down and told them face to face, this is what I want you to do. At some level, they had to discern it. They had to trust this is where God's inviting them. And then they had to have the courage to go. That's what faith is, brothers and sisters. It's walking and taking steps in darkness that I'm maybe pretty sure of, but I'm not certain of it. Remember, certainty is not faith. Faith is moving forward and trusting God will be there at the next step. You know, this whole image of Moses going up on Mount Sinai, and he goes, the further up he goes, where he's meeting God and gets the Ten Commandments, the cloudier and the darker it gets, right? That image is really good for us because sometimes it feels like we are in the dark and we don't know if what this voice says to us is really God. So because we're not sure, I'm going to ignore it. Brothers and sisters, that's not it. That's not it. God will speak to us, and there are times God will invite us to follow that we are not certain. So, in those moments when we are uncertain, how do we help gain certainty? Brothers and sisters, I think we need to discern well. What do we use? What tools do we use for discernment? I would say, first of all, is where God's inviting us to go in the midst of this place where we've heard him, we've heard his voice. Does it coalesce with what I hear and know in Scripture and know God to be? Now, that doesn't mean God is, that we know God fully. We do not know God fully. God can and will surprise, just like God was doing through Paul and Barnabas. All right? But, Does it bring life or death? Because if it brings death, then I don't know that this is about God. Does it bring life to some community or some people or some place? Okay. Then this could be it. What does the church say about it? Another discerning tool. Again, not the only one, by the way. And if Jesus were to have used that as the only one back 2,000 years ago, he wouldn't have moved and wouldn't have done anything, because the church, quote-unquote, at the time, were the Jewish leaders who were saying, you're abolishing the law. And he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. You just don't understand the fullness of the law. And I don't say that as a critique of the church. I say that as God is always bigger than what we have right now. Our understanding of God does not fully encompass God, brothers and sisters. And so even the church falls short of God, but we need to use it as a priority factor, to use Benedict's words, Pope Benedict, in the discernment of what's going on and what we're hearing and what we're called to follow. Other people in our lives that we trust, go to them and say, this is where I think God is calling me. What does that make sense? Am I off base here? And use that as a moment of discernment. Take it to prayer and say, God, this is where I think you're calling me. Does this bring us a sense of peace or a sense of anxiety? Not anxiety because it's going to be difficult. Anxiety because it just feels ungrounded. It doesn't feel of God. And then, brothers and sisters, move forward one way or the other. Brothers and sisters, our God doesn't speak to us like I'm speaking to you now. There are times every one of us, I suspect, wish God did, because then we could hear and we know and we move forward. But our God speaks to us in ways that are unique to us, and sometimes we have to walk out on a limb like Paul and Barnabas did and move forward. But in doing so, the world is never the same, because where God invites us is where the world needs to hear God's voice or see God's action. And God continues to speak to you and to me. His sheep hear his voice. How do you hear? Where? Carve out moments to hear that whisper in the midst of the hurricane. We must. And then do we have the courage to follow where it invites us? And if we are concerned about that, discern it and use those tools that we talked about. God is here. You and I, we get to pick up the mantle. We just need to begin to hear differently. Let's pray. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth glorious mystery, Mary is assumed body and spirit into heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, may God, in God's goodness, continue to speak, and may we listen and follow. Be well.